All right, good morning, everybody.
Good morning.
All right, welcome to Overeaters Anonymous. We're having a special meeting today called Sponsors Toolbox. It's presented by Central Jersey Intergroup. They put it together. And we'll have quite a few presentation. At the end, we'll have a little time for question and answer. So we're going to start off with the Serenity Prayer. Would everybody join me? We got to hold this.
I got you.
Okay, God, grant me the serenity to accept the things I cannot change, the courage to change the things I can, and the wisdom to know the difference.
Amen.
Okay, this is a good morning, everybody. I'm Janice. I'm a grateful compulsive overeater, and I am definitely powerless over food, and my life is unmanageable. And already I'm crabby. You know, we were standing up for the Serenity Prayer, so I brought the crabby, and hopefully I will leave it here. So my topic that I have 8 minutes for which to babble about is, when are you ready to sponsor? My favorite meditation this morning says, have I learned that there is happiness in helping others? Because when I read the big book on page 97, it says helping others is the foundation stone of our recovery. So that's all over the big book. So when I read that and I realize this is the way I need to go, and the way I have gone over the years, I've been in program a long time. I came in since in 1977. I've had a lot of sponsors and a lot of sponsees, but three women come to mind. My first sponsor, I remember her because she was my first. She was kind, patient, available. She babysat for a living, so she watched my daughter, who was 5 years old at the time. I sat next to her at meetings, and she calmed me down enough to listen to what you all had to say. My mind went into a nice little groove. I stopped. I could embrace my powerlessness, and she was very good at that. And her house was a mess. I loved her for that. She just gave me everything I needed. Calm, messy. She didn't apologize because it was messy. She was just who she was, and she was willing to share that. Another woman who really changed my life in the early 90s was a very devout Catholic. She went to Mass every day. She lived in the same town that in which I lived, and every meeting I saw her, she would talk about spirituality and love of her higher power, and my higher power was terrifying. So I took the leap of faith, and when I asked her to sponsor me, she took me to step two. And my first sponsor, step one, my second sponsor, step two. She helped me to come to believe that a power greater than myself could restore me to sanity, and that helped me to turn my will and my life over to the care of God as I understood him, because as I understood him was a different way now. And she helped me to turn my will and my life over to a punishing God. And she taught me that God would not punish me. The third woman that I remember well and I will remember for the rest of my life took me through a time in my life where I really am embracing the change that I have now. And the reason I love this woman is because she had a service level that I wanted. I was amazed at what she did for the program. I wanted to be just like her when I grew up, and she was bitchy. And I was already that. So we connected, and when she crabbed at me, I mean, I would come into a meeting and say, oh my God, my sponsor pissed me off this morning. It's like, oh my God. But I loved her for that. She pushed all my buttons in just the right way. When I said to her, gee, we would talk about some kind of service thing and something that I would have liked to do if only, you know, I knew how. And she'd say, let's do it. And she was just wonderful. I would qualify. She would come to my qualification. I would go to hers. It was just good. So she also, it's the reason I'm doing service now. She just volunteered me. She told me, you're doing the coffee for Unity Day. You know, I signed you up. It's your 2-year anniversary. I signed you up for such and such a meeting. So I would do these things, and it was wonderful. You know, she helped me through the fear. I remember one day I called her, and I said, it was like a few minutes before I was leaving the house. And she said, sit with me for a few minutes. And that's what she did. She was good at that. So all of these three women gave me what they were already good at. They shared it. I loved it. I grew from it. So how do we know when we're ready to sponsor? Well, Tradition 3 says the only requirement for OA membership is the desire to stop eating compulsively. I think the only requirement for sponsorship is the willingness to share what we have. You know, how to make good pot roast, you babysit, you're crabby. It doesn't have to be some miraculous, I know exactly what to do and exactly what to say. I share what I already have. Hopefully we've done the 21 writings that are associated with the first three steps. We've done some step work. We're following suggestions, or I'm following suggestions. I'll speak in the first person. And we're moving along. The first person I sponsored came up to me and said, she was a newcomer, and she said, I need a sponsor. And I said, ooh, I'm not ready. And she said, I'll wait. Let me know. And she kept saying, are you ready? Are you ready? Are you ready? We went to the same meetings together, and finally I realized God was talking to me. We started working together. She released all her weight. She bloomed. We were friends, our two families. I was a lot younger then. I did a lot of picnic kind of stuff, and she gave me what she had, and I gave her what I had. It's not a secret. We can use these traits to the level of our own experience, And what I have experienced is the desire to stop eating compulsively, the desire to start doing more service, the desire to stop crabbing, because I can hear myself and I don't like it, so I want to change that behavior. And all I did was share with these women, and they shared with me. So sponsorship is a tool. It's a service. It's part of our primary purpose. It's an entire chapter in the big book called Working with Others, and it's part of every story after the first 164 pages and part of the 12 step. So the big book also says practical experience shows that nothing will so much ensure immunity from drinking as intensive work with other alcoholics. It works when other activities fail. This is our 12th suggestion. Carry this message to other alcoholics. You can help where no one else can. You can secure their confidence when others fail. Doesn't that sound wonderful?
Mm-hmm.
I can secure their confidence where others fail. Mm. And if that sounds wonderful, it means you're ready. So thank you for listening. And
thank you for sharing.
I would like to introduce our next speaker, Bobby L.
Hi, I'm Bobby, compulsive overeater.
Hi, Bobby.
I'm going to talk to you about something called the ABC food plan. What I do want to share with first is a lot of people think that what they eat and what they don't eat is their abstinence. And I just want to read from Dignity of Choice, what's the difference between a plan of eating and abstinence? In OA, abstinence is the action of refraining from compulsive eating and compulsive food behaviors while working towards or maintaining a healthy weight. A plan of eating is one of the ways in which an individual member chooses to be abstinent. So when you say you have your abstinence, it's not just what you're not eating. It's also compulsive food behaviors. For me, I'm an anorexic bulimic, and regardless of what food I eat, I want to purge it. That behavior has to be abstained from. I also was a grazer. I would eat everything. That behavior has to be abstained from. So I eat three meals a day. So it's not just the food. And as far as the food plan and what you are going to abstain from, many compulsive eaters are sugar addicts. So they come into OA and they have the idea, first of all, that this food plan is a diet, which it's not. It's healthy, normal eating. You need to eat to lose weight, so it's not restricting food. The other thing is not all of us are sugar addicts. I'm an alcoholic. Surprise, surprise. Guess what sugars are my triggers? Xylitol, the OL at the end means it's an alcohol sugar. Mannitol, sorbitol, those are the sugar-free substitutes. Guess what really set me off? Something fierce. So other people are allergic to salt, or salt is their thing that's really highly addictive. And others, it's fats, butter in particular. So when you get a new sponsee, you can't assume that their food triggers and the things they need to abstain from are exactly what yours are. And the ABC food plan gives you one way of helping your sponsee try to figure out what they really need to abstain from as far as food goes. And on the last page of your handout, we actually have it written out for you. So the first part, again, the sponsee usually needs to be honest. So they do need to be sober from their food. So I usually have them go into Dignity of Choice and pick one of the food plans and tell them, just eat real food until so you can clear your mind until we figure out what's going on. And in the meantime, you have them make a list of everything they're consuming. And they're going to divide it into three columns. Column A, you'll also hear us call it the red light foods. Stop, don't eat these. These are your trigger foods. These are the things you do need to abstain from all the time. And so that these are foods that you know in your heart of hearts are triggers. They're foods you always eat too much of. You can never have just one of. those are things that you turn to when you're either outrageously happy or feeling some other emotion. You use them to celebrate, you use them to isolate. So these are your red light foods that you need to abstain from. And you have to be specific. Don't just say that it's protein. You have to list the specific type of protein. Just don't say it's sugar. What sugars is it? The brand of this gallon, the brand of the thing with holes in it, the brand of the little thing in the box that shakes when you, you know, it makes noises. Then column B is what we call your yellow foods. Now these are foods you're unsure of. These are the gray zones. These are the things that typically, if you're abstaining from them, you're gonna want them when you're emotional. And again, there may be times that you're taking that whole bag of something into the bedroom, and otherwise it just sits there and it has to be thrown away because it goes stale. Column B are the ones that usually I'll tell my sponsees, these are your yellow foods, and if you know there's something emotional going on, don't eat them then, all right? Column C is your green lights. These are foods that clearly aren't a problem for you. You can take them or leave them. You don't overeat them, and you can let them go. Now, I know some of you are sitting here saying, I can overeat everything. Then it's not the food that's the trigger. It's the behavior that's a trigger. So you have to keep that in mind that, again, abstinence is not just the foods. What do you do if your sponsee has a slip? Well, again, go back and look at the food first. Inventory it first. The food's usually the last thing to go. You have them write down, again, what they were eating, but not just what they were eating, how they were feeling in between. What things went on in life, what stressors were there, what emotions were they were feeling. And again, it's not just unhappy stuff, it's also outrageously happy stuff, because that can be your pride defect at work. And once you've got the inventory of the foods they were eating, you may have found another trigger, something that belongs in the red or yellow light area. The other thing is, once you've figured out what's going, you want them to go back and try to figure out what lies their disease was telling them. What stories led them to, it's okay to eat that red food, or it's okay to eat that yellow food now when some other voice is telling you, oh my goodness, I feel like crying, so I'm going for my yellow food. It's okay, it's not my red food. what was your, what lies were going on with the disease at that point? So you have to look at those too. And then what actions are you ready to take physically, emotionally, and spiritually to get the abstinence back, to go back onto your food plan? Thank you.
Thank you so much. That was wonderful.
Hi, my name is Christina, and I'm a grateful compulsive eater.
And I'm so thrilled to be here this morning. We had a conversation at Intergroup about 2 months ago, and sponsorship, or a need for sponsors, was identified, which is no secret. This group put together a workshop with practical things that we can do to maybe try, if we haven't tried before, and help people to become acquainted with the program or to become closer to these ideas. What I took, we have a friend in New York who does a sponsorship training for his area, and a lot of these ideas were taken from the locally produced literature that he put together for them. So if you're new to sponsoring or considering it, I have a sponsee that said she would be too timid to do this. She didn't know what would come up. I said, come to the sponsorship workshop. You'll find out a little bit more information. I wanted to talk about the pamphlets in the newcomer packet because I was familiar with one or two of them, but until Don mentioned, you know, all you really need to get started is to have the person get a big book and these pamphlets. And you work with these pamphlets for the first 2 weeks. You have them figure out the fabulous new food plan. And the way Bobby described it is a wonderful way to go about it because they self-identify. They say, these are the things that have led me into trouble where I don't feel good about myself. In the newcomer pamphlet, the first thing they talk about is the 15 questions. You know, do I eat sensibly in front of others and then make up for it when I am alone? The first time I read these, my head was bobbing up and down and up and down. And we realized that we could not recover ourselves, so we learned to share with other OA members. Instead of reaching for food to soothe our nerves, we went to a meeting, wrote out our feelings, read some OA literature, and called a sponsor. It's sort of what to do in between that magic Tuesday where you go and see the recovered people, and then you have 7 days where you live with your family and with the other salespeople that you work with, and everybody's bringing things into the office. You can stick your pamphlet in your pocket and refer to it when you need to, or when you need a pick-me-up. The one I'm most familiar with is the plan of eating. This touches all, you know, I think having the sponsee identify their trigger foods is a wonderful way to overcome some objections. But, you know, turning over my food to somebody was new and unique to this program. We didn't have these pamphlets 30 years ago, and some of them have just been renewed or rewritten. So it was a pleasure to read this. And after we listened to how Don does this, the first sponsee I got was a brand new person. And I said, you know, I want you to take the plan of eating pamphlet and just read the first two pages. We're going to talk about that the next day. And it helped her to kind of get in, understand a little bit more about what she heard in the meeting. We learned to refrain from compulsive eating and compulsive food behaviors, which we call abstinence. Here is the definition of abstinence again. The daily plan serves to separate our eating from our emotions and relieves us of making decisions we formerly had to make throughout the day. Reducing the time we think about food clears our head of ongoing conflict between our self-will and disease. The most surprising thing for me is when I put down the food, how much time I had for living. And, you know, this gives you the opportunity to share that, just your experience, not something that is just, you know, what was real for you, because that is our gift to the people that we work with. I want to see how much time, because I want to keep to the time.
I got you.
You've got me? Okay.
I got you. Yes. 3 minutes and 50 seconds.
Thank you. We find it necessary to examine our current and old eating patterns in order to begin building a new set of healthy eating habits. To sustain our eating for any length of time, we must embrace the whole program. The steps, the traditions, and the tools. So for me to be able to listen to the steps, my head had to be clear of the sugar fog. And by the grace of God, there's some things that I haven't put in my mouth for 33 years. If you told me on the first night I came here that that would be part of my history, I would say, I don't know. You know, but I had this sponsor who was just 6 weeks ahead of me that said, you know, Christina, we just do this one day at a time. And I don't remember her name. I remember her and her crazy girlfriend who would say to me every day, every week, you know, you look good. And tell me about some other crazy diet she was on. But their friendship gathered me in and helped me to stay. And I put away the chairs and I collected the literature and I did whatever, and I was like wallpaper. I did whatever I could because they modeled for me. You know, serve, this is my OA and I need to do something in order to keep it going. So that's a little bit about the plan of eating, very important pamphlet, and the tools of recovery. You know, OA puts out a newsletter twice a year, I think it is, and they have a column now, my favorite pamphlet, and rather than reading parts of the Tools of Recovery, my favorite pamphlet is the Tools of Recovery. I'm the person who stays after meetings and explains programs to newcomers. I have them open the newcomer's packet, pull out the Tools of Recovery pamphlet, and suggest they read that one first. I explain anyone can come to an OA meeting, and we never keep people out. By tomorrow night, when they're standing in front of their fridge trying to decide between two junk foods for a late night snack, they can either pick up a phone to call their sponsor or someone in program, do an online or phone meeting, pick up their keys and go to a meeting, put some program literature and do some reading, pick up a pen or a keyboard and do some journaling, pick up their rear ends and do some service. And I thought that was the best summation of what the Tools Recovery Program pamphlet could do for me. So, you know, I'm glad we have this opportunity to take a look at these and say, and when you have somebody that's brand new, or maybe somebody that's just coming back, maybe somebody that got the newcomer packet and never looked at the pamphlets inside, it's an opportunity to introduce them to that and to renew this information for yourself. And I want to thank this committee for ordering the pamphlets and putting it all together. It's really special. Okay, who's next?
No, Brenda.
Ready, Brenda? Okay. Good morning. My name is Brenda. I am a compulsive, obsessive, addictive person.
Hi, Brenda.
And the first time I actually admitted that in public was the beginning of an incredible journey for me. And I'd just like to read quickly from sponsoring through the 12 steps. Sponsorship is one of the vital keys to recovery in OA. Sponsors are abstinent OA members who are committed to refraining from compulsive eating and compulsive food behavior while working towards or maintaining a healthy body weight. They are practicing the 12 steps and 12 traditions to the best of their ability and are willing to share their experience, strength, and hope with other compulsive overeaters. Sharing with others is one way sponsors maintain their recovery. Thus, both sponsor and sponsee benefit from the relationship. And for me, that has been absolutely so important in my recovery, which started 5 years ago. I didn't wake up one morning and decide just to, you know, embrace the 12 steps. I sat in these rooms for 25 years, slipping and sliding, one sponsor after another. And when I finally decided nothing was working, I decided to do it on my own. However, never for one moment did I ever leave these rooms or this program. But 5 years ago, I sat next to somebody in a meeting, and somebody who I knew from the minute I came into this program, and The truth is, I don't remember what she said, but I cried. And when the meeting was over, I asked her if she would take my food. And I hadn't given away my food in years. And that was such a big step for me, such a big step. And that relationship began. And never once in that relationship did she ever say to me, you know, you have to do the 12 steps, otherwise you're never going to recover. You have to embrace the 12 steps. But gently, and the way she shared her life with me allowed me to, when I was in a meeting, listen to those people share who had abstinence, who had a way of life that gave them peace and serenity. Serenity was all about embracing the 12 steps. And I thought, oh my God, this is the piece that I'm missing. And again, it wasn't an easy transition for me. But my sponsor, because of the way she shared her life, not only to me on a one-on-one, but in meetings about how she takes the 12 steps in every aspect of her life and works out her issues, just blew me away. And just believing that this was God's answer to me in many areas of my life. Physically, I wasn't having that much of a problem, so I thought. Emotionally, I was a wreck. Spiritually, I had more than the other two legs of the stool. I always believed in God. My belief today is so much different. The three meditation books I read are all about what God does for me on a daily basis, which I could never, ever do. It has led me into embracing the 12 steps. This is a gift that this person has given to me. Her message has been loud and very clear, as has been the messages of all those sponsors and sponsees who work this program one day at a time, and sometimes one moment at a time. And that was another thing that I was able to embrace, that one moment of the time was something that I could incorporate into my life to give me some peace and some serenity in the noise that lives in my brain 24/7. It never shuts off. And even last night, I was exhausted, and there was something that was just running around in my head, and I just couldn't make it stop. And then I said, I know how I can make it stop. I do a mini step. I take it through the 12 steps, one line, leave a blank at the end, and fill it in. And it helps me to understand what I'm thinking, what's happening, and how I can quiet that noise. That noise is there all the time. And for me, it means that by working the 12 steps, I also have prayer and meditation. And I use that to come down a level. And last night, after doing a mini 12 step, I still couldn't find a comfortable place. So I do a breathing exercise. And that breathing exercise is involved with God. And it's amazing. I woke up this morning at 7 o'clock. So I don't know what happened in between, and it doesn't matter. But I had a good night's sleep. I am so grateful for this program. I work with a sponsor. I have to tell you, I had a sponsee, but I don't anymore. And I, as part of service, I need to do more sponsoring. I don't have to be afraid that person is going to judge me. All I can do is what my sponsor did for me, is to share who I am. You either like it or you don't. That's who I am. I share my program, and I am so, so grateful. I had another thought, but I lost it. But that means that God has said, I've said enough. Oh, I'm sorry.
Thank you.
Hi, I'm Merrill. I'm a compulsive overeater, and I am powerless over food.
Hi, Merrill.
Welcome. I want to thank everybody for coming today. I assigned myself, since I made the agenda, this pamphlet that says, A Guide for Sponsors. When we started this, we were talking about what we wanted to accomplish here. Many of us in this room have been sponsoring, are sponsoring. We have all been sponsees. And maybe there's a new person here that is nervous about wanting and knowing how to sponsor. It's all in here. I want to read one thing that's the reason why we're sitting in this room today. Why should I sponsor? And I'm going to skip the first paragraph. First, serving as a sponsor helps reinforce our physical, emotional, and spiritual recovery. It also provides an opportunity to strengthen our relationship skills, both with another individual and our higher power. Sponsoring keeps us from isolating and teaches us how to support another human being seeking recovery. Sponsoring keeps us in touch with what brought us to the program and can also remind us of where we might return. No joke.
In a minute.
These pamphlets, I have such a new respect for. I can't even tell you how many I have laying around. I never read them. I'm sure most of us never read them. Oh, okay, I'll stick a hair in it. I don't think I've read anything since I got my newcomer packet. So I said, what can this do for me as a sponsor? How can I step up my game and not only go through these exercises with someone, but benefit from them myself? Well, how about that? Appendix A. There's handy dandy little assignments that really get you down to what this program needs you to take from it on a daily basis. In the OA 12 and 12, read from the last line on page 3 to the end of the chapter. How has your compulsive overeating harmed your life? Include at least 5 ways. Wow. Put you right back to the beginning when it was green. Reread step 1 in the OA 12 and 12. Reflect and write about the idea that sometimes your willpower is too strong. And at the same time, not strong enough. Read a plan of eating. Reflect and write about the idea that if you plan to fail to plan, you plan to fail. See that? It doesn't even come out good anymore. Reread the tools. Oh, I did that already. No, reread the tools of recovery. What is the importance of the telephone in OA? What is the importance of anonymity? How are they intertwined? All right here. Even if you want to do it one night when you don't want to call your sponsor and you might be in a bad way, grab one, write it, and read it to them in the morning. Christina alluded to a gentleman named Don. Did you mention his name? Okay. His name is Don, who is an amazing asset to this program. No matter what he does, it's just amazing. And part of his thing that he does with his intergroup and goes around and conducts these sponsorship workshops, we've got some helpful suggestions for all sponsors. Don't expect success and don't fear failure. We do 12-step work to give what we have so we can keep what we have been given. We're not sponsoring or telling our story to newcomers to get them abstinent, nor to keep them in the program. We sponsor to help keep what we have. This is the right motive. This motive will keep our pride out of the way and prevent many heartaches and disappointments when some of our sponsees choose not to accept the gift of program. Share your program. Time on the phone should be program-oriented. Don't allow social conversations to override your need to carry the message. It's important that the newcomer realize we're here because of the program. Don't give professional advice. We're not doctors, therapists, clergymen, or family counselors. When people ask for such advice, guide them to the people who are competent to give it. Don't, in egotistical vanity, give it yourself. The only thing we have to give is our experience in the program. I think I have one more. If you give the program as it is written, you will be giving your newcomers and sponsees a great gift, while at the same time holding on to the gift that the program has given you. That's what it's all about. I had a sponsor once tell me, if you don't sponsor and give away what you've been given, you're going to lose it. And you know what? It's probably true. Because everything that you give while you're sponsoring, you get back tenfold. And when you're first doing it in the beginning, you're like, wow, I'm going to do that too. And it reinforces every single solitary thing you think you know, because you don't. And thank you for letting me share.
Thank you. Hi, my name is Jenny, abstinent-compulsive overeater.
Hello.
Do I need a reporter?
Why not?
Thank you. Okay, I am a sponsor. I have a sponsor. I couldn't work this program without that. I just want to share that. To me, that's how this program works. Okay, so I'm here to talk about a couple things. So we'll start with the seventh tradition, because this old bridge meeting rocks. They paid for everything that you have in your hands. And I'm going to pass the little container around. Please dig deep and remember that, you know, this group put out quite a bit of money for the things that we're holding in our hands now and for this workshop. And they did an awesome job. In my opinion, the stuff that we got is really going to be very helpful. I always say, give as if your life depends on it, because I know it does for me, and I could spend a lot more than $3 on a binge, so I put that money in the basket today, so thank you. And now we get to have question and answer period. I'm assuming I'm not going to give the answers, because I don't have all the answers, but I'm assuming that the group will do that. So does anybody have any questions about sponsorship? Or anything else for that matter. Sponsoring, sponsorship. We got a lot of time, so yes.
Yay.
Yay.
I'm curious on how long the phone calls are suggested to be, and what people talk about with their sponsees, like what formula people use with their sponsees.
Can I answer that? Does anybody else have a good one? Okay, I can answer it and somebody else can too, because I know we all don't do the same thing. For the most part, I talk 15 to 20 minutes with each sponsee, although sometimes things come up and we talk longer. I basically have a half hour for each sponsee so that I have extra time if we need it. Basically, as far as the way that I work, is I use the time that I have available. If I only have 10 minutes in the morning, that's what I would use, and that's what I would express. You could always find another day and another time to have more time to talk with your sponsee. And for me, it works. Who else wants to share on that? Janice, go for it.
I'll share. Janice Parolis over food.
Hi, Janice.
With my sponsees, I set aside a half an hour of time. It's up to them to use what they see fit. I expect them to be prepared to have done the assignment that they were given, and I don't want to hear about wham, wham, wham. I would like to hear the writing. I would like to take their food. Whatever they want. I have a sponsee where I am her food sponsor. I have a sponsee where I am a relapse sponsor. I have a brand new sponsee. We're just getting started. And I make it clear in the beginning, the first question I ask my sponsee is, what do you want from me? And then I tell them what I want from them. So it's all clear right from the beginning, so there's no question how much time do I have, what is she asking me, what can I ask her. I make it clear that I have no anonymity. I put everything on the table. They can ask me anything they want. And I, in turn, will, as their sponsor, will require the same.
Okay. Okay, I'm going to give an answer to that, too. When you get a minute, check out this Appendix A back here in this pamphlet. You could just do this when you first start, and I think you'd be good for a month. So check. Better people than I have written this, and the World Service Literature Committee is the hardest one to be on. Everyone that's on it is like, oh my God, what did I get myself into? So they work very hard to give us these tools. So now that you have them, is this an answer to the question?
It's an answer.
Okay.
Yes, it depends upon, for me, if they're brand new, I need to hear their food every day, or I need to email their food every day. In one of our literature pieces, it says a sponsor is a loving witness.
And that's what, I'm not an authority. I'm not a dietitian. I have a daughter who's a dietitian. She studied for 10 years. You know, your food plan is what you commit to. And I am the witness that, you know, you're keeping to that commitment. And then usually they have a writing assignment, you know, that's that would take a little while to do. And maybe we talk about that once or twice a week. I also have people that have been in the program for a while. Their food is okay. So we just get together two or three times a week and talk about a piece of literature, which is fabulous for me because I get to revisit all the things that I like. Or if there's a new piece of literature like the Abstinent Second Edition, we read that together. And I say, well, you know, what do you relate to? Or do you buy that? Because, you know, not everything is resonant with everyone, but it really is a mutually beneficial relationship. Did you have something you wanted to say about this, Bob?
Yeah, I'm Bobby, compulsive old reader.
Hi, Bobby.
I think it's important, it was important for me, it still is, that sometimes I could have more than one sponsor. And there are people that do. They have one sponsor that will work steps, another work spirituality, another work food. It may work better for a person that way, and that's okay too. And the thing is, I think it's important to let your sponsee know that that's okay. For me, I think that's important for them to know. Also, that my sponsor could be one thing for me, but that the phone and calling other people in the program has been immeasurably helpful for me. And I think that's something to tell my sponsees, that certainly pick up the phone and call other people. Thank you.
Thanks for sharing.
Cheryl,
I'd just like to thank this group. This was outstanding. I had no idea what I was going to get, you know, thinking that I've been around so long. I got a lot, and I really appreciate that. And what I would just want to say is, what's the most important thing for me as a sponsor? The most important thing I ever got from a sponsor was she helped me love and accept myself just the way I am. That was a very hard lesson for me because I came in beating myself up. And that, to me, that's the primary thing that I want to give somebody. I want to help them love and accept themselves just the way they are, as less than perfect. After all, if we were perfect and we could do the food plan perfectly, we wouldn't need this program. Sometimes it takes a while for someone to even commit to a food plan. I will speak to anybody who wants to speak about program. I'll make myself available, you know, even if they're struggling and they're not sure. And I will never judge them, because if they're, they have to reach out, though. I mean, that's the thing that we're taught in this program. All the help is there, but I need to pick up the phone and ask for help. And if somebody asks for help and they're struggling, I will never, I'm not a tough person. I want to be gentle with people, because I think we're all tough enough on ourselves. We don't, I don't want a sponsor who's going to be tough on me. Thanks.
Hi, Ellen.
My question is, what is the appropriate way to deal with if you're a sponsor and you lose your abstinence, how do you deal with that with your sponsees? Number one, of course, I understand, be honest with your sponsees, but give them the option to go somewhere else, or is it appropriate to maintain the sponsorship while you're struggling?
Jenny, abstinent compulsive overeater.
Hi, Jenny.
Somebody can't sponsor me if they're drunk. That's the bottom line for me. If I break my abstinence, it's an honest program. I will tell my sponsees, I'm sorry, you need to find somebody else while I get my act back together. It's happened to me twice with sponsors. Sponsors have broken their abstinence, and they've told me exactly that. So I've learned from experience. And it's really the best thing that could have happened to me, because one, I learned good honesty, and two, I learned that it's okay to have more than one sponsor at one time. And in both situations, I had another sponsor at the time doing something else, but at least I had some support. And then, you know, I found another sponsor. But for me, I mean, it says it clearly in the big book that, you know, the way that you stay abstinent is you, or the way that you stay sober is you work with other people. You know, you get drunk, you need to start working again on yourself. And to have sponsees, I don't see how that could work. So to me, it's just an honest program, and it's something that, like, I would need to let go of so that I could work on myself again. And as much as being a sponsor is wonderful for me, if I lost my abstinence, I would have to go back to my sponsor and say, what can I do? Because then it has to be about me, and, you know, the others would have to find another sponsor. That's very important for me, because, again, it's a program of honesty. And I couldn't imagine, I remember when I was in relapse, I could not imagine still working with people when I was in relapse, because I was lying, you know, I was lying. I was totally bankrupt emotionally and spiritually before I even picked up the food. So I couldn't even imagine being working with people at that time. So for me, that's how I would handle it. Anybody else?
Thank
yes,
you,
ma'am.
Thank
you.
I'm going to refer to the
pamphlet. Because you love that pamphlet.
I told you we got an answer for everything here.
There you go. Read it.
Okay.
Wait a minute.
This is what the pamphlet says. Now, of course, this is your own personal choice.
Your sponsor relationship is a very personal relationship. So there's no right or wrong. And here's what they say. What should I do if I slip or relapse? Discuss the matter with your sponsor and be honest with your sponsee. We suggest that you remind the sponsee that he or she is free to choose a new sponsor. If you feel the need to stop sponsoring in order to focus on your own program and recovery, explain this to your sponsee.
You may offer to help her or him find a new sponsor. It is not recommended that you simply drop sponsees. Experience has taught us that abruptly losing a sponsor can be devastating for a sponsee. Encouraging a sponsee to have a strong support system will help, which is what Ginny said, encouraging people to glean different things from different people so that you are never, ever alone in this program. So, again, the pamphlet strikes. Anybody else? Corinne? Oh, Bobby, I'm sorry, I didn't see you sitting back there.
I have a question. What's the difference between a slip and a loss of recovery?
Ooh.
Relapse.
Wow, do we have a pamphlet for that?
There you go.
Brenda?
I keep.
Okay, stay there. I think we're all not perfect. That has been the most important part of my recovery, is to surrender and accept that fact for myself. And people have slips. But the other part of your question, if a person is in relapse, that's another issue. And that issue needs to be addressed, as Ginny talked about, being honest about what is going on. And there are times that a person can be in relapse by picking up not food, but a character defect. And I have done that a lot lately, a lot. But I have a sponsor who understands that and helps me to work out those issues and to not solve that problem, but finally understand my character defects, embrace them, and then still feel good about myself so that I can continue on in recovery. So having a slip or being in relapse, it depends. And if it's a food issue, then it has to be dealt with, I think. I don't know.
Okay. Corinne was next. Hang on. And then Kathy.
Oh.
Who says I don't exercise?
There you go.
That's your aerobic for the day.
Okay. Just wanted to ask for, you know, group consensus. You know, sometimes, you know, I know that it's, you know, sponsorship is, you know, when you're ready and up to your own experience and whatever. Is there a more, I guess because of my compulsivity, is there a more definitive, like, answer about certain, I want to use the words requirements. And the reason why I want to say this is, you know, I've gone to a lot of meetings and there have been people who have identified themselves as sponsors. And I'm not trying to judge, you know, I'm really not, but they admittedly, they've never been through the 12 steps themselves. They have themselves never worked with the sponsor. They don't read the literature. Again, that they've identified that they attend the meetings and they feel that they've got a good grasp on the program and it's been helping them and they're ready to sponsor. And that they then take on sponsees and then, you know, I'm just not sure, like, is there a more definitive definition of just saying, like, oh yeah, I can do this?
Okay, Ginny.
This is a 12-step program. So, for me, a sponsor, let's do it this way. When I picked a sponsor, she was working the steps, she was working the traditions and the concepts. Very important for me. Because that's how this program works. That's what the big book says. That's what the OA material all says. It's a 12-step program. So if I was to get a sponsor who wasn't doing any of that, she wouldn't be able to teach me how. So it's very important to ask questions when someone says that they're available.
When somebody's new to the program, and this is what
exactly.
I've observed, somebody's mm-hmm. new to the program, and they're just seeing somebody willing, mm-hmm. and then they connect with the person, they don't mm-hmm. feel any different.
Exactly. You know, so I think that, I don't know if your group has qualifications for being a sponsor, because I know, excuse me, when I first started out, you had to do the 21 writings, which was step 1, 2, and 3. As time went on,
people would say, well, you know, there's not that many sponsors around, so as long as you're work, and it's always as long as you're working the steps, you have more than what they have. So if you're willing, do it. But I have always heard, if you are working the steps. And if you have a sponsor, see, that's the other thing, because I would never choose someone who doesn't have a sponsor, because for me, that's how this program works. So I'm picky with that, and I'll say, do you have a sponsor, and are you working the steps and traditions? If at your meetings you actually ask sponsors to identify themselves, I would question, you know, maybe in a group conscious, can we talk about what a sponsor actually needs to be? Because to me, it is a 12-step program. I mean, that's the bottom line.
Can I answer that question, too?
Oh, sure. Buddy.
Well, Kathy, have a hand
up.
You're
answering our question.
Okay.
Go ahead.
So I'm going back one step to the previous question about the difference between a slip and a relapse. On the Central Jersey New and Improved website, if you haven't been there, it's amazingly different. There's a link that's page that's called Inspirations and Resources, and within that, there's a long list of things, and a couple of them are suggested questions for slips, 100 slip questions. So you may, I'm not going to drill down into that right now, but you may find your answers there as far as the difference between a slip and a relapse. And as far as people that you're choosing to sponsor you, I don't know if I read it somewhere, or I've certainly heard it, that sponsors can only sponsor up to the level of their own experience. So it depends on what you as a new person are looking for. I needed someone who had lost 100 pounds because that's what I needed to lose. And I thought that that's all it was about at the beginning, was just food. But the sponsor that I chose also had other attributes, in that they were sociable and outgoing and friendly, and I needed that too. So it took me a good 6 months to ask someone to be my sponsor, but I was looking for someone who had what I wanted. That's what I've heard. And so if someone offers themselves up to be a sponsor, and a newcomer hooks up with them, and it turns out that it's not mutually beneficial, that relationship could be ended. But there is the concern that, you know, we would hope that it wouldn't turn someone off to the program entirely. But that's all up to a higher power. So that's all I have. Thanks.
Well, thank you, Larry. Yeah, I know everybody wants to share on what we're going to do, and let me answer his question. And then if anybody wants to stay, just keep talking. But I just don't want anybody to not get their question asked.
I'm a compulsive overeater.
I want to be a hard ass.
Oh, yes, you do.
Yes, I do. It's a 12-step program. And I think here in OA, we get away from the idea. It's a very specific program. If we have friends, or if any of us are in other fellowships, it's cut and dry. We work 12 steps, and we follow the big book that gives us the rules and directions, step by step. I mean, in how it works, it's italicized. It says step three. It tells you when we get to step three, how we can continue on. And I really believe that that is something that sometimes is missing, is the specifics of really working the 12 steps as it works along. And you can read it right in the big book. And in Bob's story, it talks about, you know, how they realize, and the other doctors realize, that this worked by passing the message on. So passing the message on is really the beginning of sponsoring. And it really, I'm a believer that you just have to work the steps. And it says it right in the book, you know, the book. Is, you know, step one, you read the first couple of chapters to basically through how it works, gets you through step one through three, and then, you know, then you pass that message along. I'm reading the big book again. I don't know what got into me. So something smacked me in the side of the head. I said, let me start reading the big book again. And it's amazing. It's probably about my fourth time personally reading the book. And it's like, aha, ah, ah. You just, it reads like a whole new book again. But it really, the specific, it's all laid out in the big book. And I think we have to remember to sponsor, as it says in the big book, exactly. It's laid out for us, word for word. It's a Bible. And if we start going to these gray areas, and I know it's hard in OA because we have a gray disease a little bit. We have to continue to eat to stay alive. But our brothers in other fellowships, it's cut and dry. You are not drinking alcohol, period. And then you work the steps. It's not, there's no gray area, and I think we have to remember that. And I know I might come off as opinionated and judgmental, and that's something I always work on, but I'm just a big believer that if we follow the big book, it gives us a lot of answers, and we could pass that knowledge on.
Thank you for sharing.
This is just from my experience, is that from my experience, it's the suggested 12 steps. You know, I personally believe that you can't find recovery without working the 12 steps. But when I came into the program, it's the suggested steps. But as I stay here longer, I know that I can't recover without working the steps. And I think that's just something that can't be lost.
You want to end? Okay. Thank you for everybody for attending this meeting. It was very well done. Appreciate it. Okay. Well, it is. Okay. We have to close up the meeting in a minute. Okay. I take exception to that. A meeting's an hour. It's an hour.
You know. I've been in the program for close to 3 years in March, and when I came into the program, I actually picked up the program pretty quickly, and I was asking it for a year, and I got down to what I thought was a normal weight for myself. After that year expired, I just have been struggling, with relapse, and it's been really rough for almost 2 years. And I've worked with different people, and this is just food for thought for sponsors out there. But during those 2 years, I know everybody has different styles, but my sponsor now never gave up on me. I mean, never gave up on me. And you know, as a matter of fact, we were talking today, and today I celebrate my 30 days. My point is that when you're sponsoring people, if they're not meeting your expectation, be patient, be gentle. They're struggling, they're really trying to get out of there. And I know for me going forward, I've sponsored in that first year, I know that I would be more patient with anybody that's struggling, even if it took them 10 years, because you just don't know when that turn's gonna happen. And I'm just so grateful that that turn happened for me. So, you know, I can say I'm absolutely out of relapse now, and I'm just really excited about the journey.
Thank you for sharing. I would like to make some announcements because I am the chair and I can do that. Coming up on January 22nd, the JAFTA meeting is having a special focus workshop. It's on the 4-2-day